Let's just bow our heads and start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. O come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the power of intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Dear friends in Christ, during our pilgrimage of life, we have crosses or difficulties. We also receive consolations from the Lord. And in all these, St. Paul says, stand firm in the faith, whether you're in a valley or whether you're on a mountaintop in the spiritual life. And above all, as our Lord the Father says here in the Gospel, this is my chosen Son, listen to him. So listen to the Lord in the desolations, the crosses, listen to him in the consolations. Now, from St. Paul in the Philippians here today, says stand firm in the faith. He said, yes, there are difficulties in life. There are difficulties. But it's only in those difficulties that we show our love for the Lord. You know, in good times and bad, Lord, I'm going to stick at your side. You know, like, if I could use the analogy, like in baseball or football. Yeah, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. Yeah, when they're in first place, they're doing well. But then where are they, you know? Well, maybe the Cubs are an exception. People are there all the time. But some other teams, you know, where the people are just fair weather fans. But our Lord wants us to be a fan, but be at his side all the time. Now, perseverance. Perseverance is something you always need. And you know, perseverance is more than just endurance. I used to think of endurance, okay, Lord, I'm stick by your side, but it's much deeper than that. I've in times past I've used the analogy to sit in the car with the Lord and just fasten the seatbelt. But like an endurance, just like hang in there. But it's much, much deeper. That perseverance in the sense is like abandoning yourselves into the hands of God. Everything. Just a person of Lord, everything, preserve me, I'm placing myself in your hand. If I use the analogy, it's like an archer with a bow and an arrow. So he has the bow, and he keeps stretching it, and he has a trajectory, a goal, where he wants that arrow to be. Like God the Father looks at us, and he has a place for us reserved in heaven. He has a crown that he wants to crown us with in heaven. And so what he has to do with us in life, because of our selfishness and our sins and pride, he stretches us to the point, and it's painful when it happens, right? It's painful. But if we hang in there, persevere, when the archer lets go of the bow, then that arrow, it'll hit his target. And God's target for us is goal that we be with him in heaven to behold his face for all eternity. Now, St. Paul, the longer part of this reading of Philippians, he said, some conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. He said, we shouldn't be. In a sense, like, if there's a cross, Lord, I'm out of here. You know, someone has a big trial. Well, forget it, Lord. You know, my faith has tried too much. I'm out of here. Then you have to ask yourself, when I sit back, or we all have these experiences, does that person or myself, do I really have that deep of a commitment to Christ? Something comes up that doesn't, I don't like, I'm out of here. It'd be like you're on a ship. The captain said, Captain, you know what? You know, I don't like the food on this trip. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm out of here. I'm getting one of the safety rafts. I'm going back to shore. Like, you know, where's the commitment? So we're called to have this deep commitment to the Lord. Now, this gospel here is very interesting. Many saints have commented on this. And they point out little things sometimes we may miss. St. Thomas Aquinas says, you know, so you have Moses and you have Elijah appearing with the Lord in this transfiguration. So the apostles are going through a consolation. They're in the top of this mountain. They're seeing the Lord. Their eyes are like, whoa. They're seeing the Lord in his glory, the peace and the radiance. And St. Peter says, wow, this is great to be here. Peter, James, and John were privileged to be up there to experience it. It's like, whoa. St. Thomas says, one reason that Moses and Elijah appeared, that both of them had to face trials to be faithful to the Lord. Moses had to go against Pharaoh. I mean, it's surprising. Look back. Why didn't Pharaoh just cut his head off? This is the all-powerful pagan Pharaoh. He doesn't care about anything. It's just he used to rule. And the Lord says, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Okay, Moses, okay, Lord, I'll do it. A little begrudgingly, but he goes, and several times. Then Elijah, he has to face the evil king Ahab and Jezebel as well. But he does it. So they put themselves in harm's way because they're being faithful to the Lord. Okay, they heard the voice of the Lord. Okay. Right, Lord, well, okay, and they do it. Now the first reading, you can catch the subtlety in here. In the book of Genesis, Abram, he becomes Abraham later, Abram has a really mountaintop, a consolation experience. The Lord God is speaking to him and says, you know, look at the sky. Your progeny could be number more than the stars. So he's getting a glimpse of the future. Wow. So we know him's Holy Father Abraham, and there's Isaac and Jacob. So he's the father of these patriarchs, one of the patriarchs. It's like, wow. So he sees his consolation. Like, here's the subtlety you may not catch right away. It's during the day that he sees these stars. Because if you keep reading, then it says, and then the sun was about to set. Wait, what do you mean the sun's about to set? He was looking at the stars. So he went out there, he had a supernatural experience where God should like move the clouds and the skies, where he was able to see the stars. So he had a special consolation. He must have been like, wow, look at this. But then what happened? As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. He was getting a glimpse, I'm looking at this, getting a glimpse of the sufferings that would come to the chosen people. The transfiguration, this happened shortly, a week, 10 days, something like that, before our Lord will enter into his passion, into his death. And so Peter, James, and John are descendants. It's not by accident those three were chosen to be at the transfiguration. The Lord wanted to give them special strength, because what happens a week later, they see the Lord in his agony in the garden. Now he's not transfigured, shining bright, but he's sweating blood. So they're seeing this. And so St. Leo the Great says the principal purpose of the transfiguration was to remove from the hearts of the disciples the scandal of the cross, to give them extra strength and consolation. Now, in our lives of faith, God is daily speaking to us. And believe it or not, there are consolations, special consolations that he gives us in grace. And we have to be receptive to that. Like Peter, James, and John, they go up Mount Tabor to witness this transfiguration. By God's grace, about 20 years ago, I was at Mount Tabor. And you have this flat plains of the Holy Land. All of a sudden, you see this mountain going up. And we took a little cab. You got to go up and up and up. So it took quite an effort for them, even without a cab, to walk up this to get to the top. But once they get up there, that reward for, in a sense, climbing Calvary to see, to witness what they saw here. Now, if you reflected and look at your life, different crosses have come. God has given you consolations before that cross has come. God knows all things. He sees the crosses and difficulties you face. So the Lord gives you graces ahead of time, so when those crosses come, that you can bear it. But here's the key. When those graces came, were we sponges? Did we receive those graces? Did we accept those graces that God was sending? Or did we have our deflector shields up? I was reading St. Faustina's diary today, an interesting passage, where the Lord was speaking to her, but she didn't want to hear his voice. I'm like, well, what's going on here? So she said, what I did purposely, I began to avoid interior conversations with him, filling up the time with vocal prayer. You know why? Because the Lord was telling her, you will prepare the world for my final coming. Paragraph 429. So there's different ways sometimes we try to avoid listening to it. Some people, maybe the music's always blasting in the car all the time. Maybe the television's going in every single room of the home. There's all different ways. Some people go to the bar, whatever it may be. Some people try to do these different things so they don't hear the voice of the Lord. But sometimes it can be deafening to enter the silence and be faced. Now you hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe he's asking you to do something, stretching you. But it's so important that we strive to listen to those, to get to those moments where we can hear his voice. Why? Because he has special graces in store for us. Special graces. Now, what happens? The more that we strive to listen to the voice of the Lord, it means that we're living a deeper life of grace, okay? And we're actually protected from a lot of other crosses that otherwise would may have befallen us. You ever seen someone maybe in their life that, let's say a young girl, maybe 17, and let's say the girl, she gets pregnant, and then she's, oh my goodness, my dad's going to kill me, this is going on. And I'm going to say, she says, you know what, I can't handle this, and she feels all this pressure, and so she doesn't know what to do, and then she goes and has an abortion. And then the guilt after a couple of years starts building up, then she turns maybe to drugs, promiscuous lifestyle, or maybe drinking, and the life just seems to get worse and worse. Well, she's carrying all these crosses that God never intended for her to carry. Because at this point, she wasn't listening to the voice of God. And so these different crosses that could have been prevented to carry. Now, we all have crosses. I think you look out at humanity, our own lives, how many extra crosses are we carrying that God never wanted us to carry? If we live a life of grace, we're striving to listen to his voice, he'll protect us from a lot of other crosses. Like every time I get in the car, Lord, I just ask your blessings upon my trip. Keep me safe. May the angels watch over. You may be protected from any accidents otherwise may have happened. But also by living in his grace, we become like sponges. So when he does send graces, we absorb those into ourselves. Now, this is a wonderful quote. Just the other day, it's from the Vatican spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi. And he was commenting on some of the media. They have all the different scenarios, why the Pope's retiring, this and that. And he's like, this is just basically nonsense. And he says this, whoever has money, sex, and power at the forefront of their mind sees the world through these parameters and cannot see beyond, even when looking at the church. He goes on, their view cannot look to the heights or go in depth to understand the spiritual dimensions and motivations of existence. In other words, he's saying, they're blinded. Though they have eyes, they see not. Though they have ears, they can't hear. So it's so important for us, by living a life of faith and the sacrifice, especially during Lent, to turning the radio stations, we hear, okay, here it is. Oh, there's the voice of God. He's saying, they're blinded. They can't see. Abram, he takes this leap of faith. He goes from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, where the Lord calls him. And so he's opening himself up, and he's able to see the stars during the day. That's how we should be able to see the different things that others can't see by living a life of faith. Now, I'll give you an example of a person who had crosses, had consolations, and dear to the Lord. And this is a recent, she's not canonized, someday maybe she will be. She died June 9th, 1981. And she lived not too far from here, a little south of Chicago, a little south of Kankakee, so rather close to my parents, probably about an hour, 15 minutes south, in a place called Beaverville, Illinois. At the last mass, I saw some heads shaking their heads that they had been there. So Beaverville, Illinois, okay? So she becomes Sister Mary Mediatrix. Her name was Frances Hennessy before she entered the convent. So she hears the voice of the Lord, living a life of prayer. The Lord says, I'm calling you to be a nun. Okay, Lord. So she enters the convent, and her health just deteriorates. So much so, the convent says, your health is not sufficient for you to be here, okay? So she leaves. She's asked to leave. So in her heart, she'd be all bitter and mean, Lord, what are you doing? I'm going to call him. No. Lord, I know that you're working through this in a mysterious way. So what happens then? She works then for a couple years as a paid employee at another convent. So maybe she was a secretary or something. And then she hears the voice of the Lord, and she struggles to enter the servants of the Holy Heart of Mary. The founder of this order, who's already deceased, appeared to her. Say, yes, struggle. This is a convent that the Lord God wants you to be. Now, see, just in this short part so far, she's had consolation. She's listened to the voice of God. But she also has crosses that come. But because she has a deep prayer life, she doesn't bail on the Lord. She sticks in her. Okay, Lord, you want me to try again? Or I'll keep doing it. She has a special, she receives a special grace October 3rd, 1939. At that time in the calendar, it was the Feast of St. Therese. It's since been moved to October 1st. So she's in Chicago. And she had seen a doctor and she wasn't doing well. And so they said, no, you just have to stay in bed. So this is a nun. She can't go to Mass on Sunday now, let alone the weekdays, but it's Tuesday morning, 1939, October. She said, that's it. I got to get to Mass. So she gets up and she's struggling. Another sister sees her disappear. Wait, what are you doing? You go back to bed. So she's like, so she has to be obedient. She goes back to bed. Now watch what happens. So she has these crosses. Can't receive our Lord in the Holy Communion. Can't go to chapel. That's where our heart wants to be. I offer this up to the Lord. Then she writes to the superior, Mother, I offer this up. And he came. Jesus came to my room. I'll read her words. He was present by life that enveloped me and made everything else oblivious. And not just he, but the Blessed Mother came and St. John, the beloved disciple. And St. John seemed to place his hand right into the heart of Christ, the Sacred Heart. And he took out a host. Like I put my hand there in the tabernacle, take out this for him. He put his hand in the Sacred Heart, took out Holy Communion. And I received Holy Communion. And it was truly as if I were going to Holy Communion in church. It was the same. The Lord was there. My Jesus told me he came because he so yearns for a soul that longs for him. He came not because I was good, but because I allowed his merciful love to enfold me. None of us are worthy. And she realized, especially being in the presence of God, she's not worthy. But because he is good, and I allowed myself to be enfolded in his merciful love. And it goes on. For her life, she had a life of many sacrifices, crosses, submitting to her superiors with different things that make sense. She offered her sufferings. And then she writes this shortly before she dies. He begs you to seek the one and only true union with him, union of will. The only joy of the soul and the glory of him is that union of will with God. Give yourself up to what he wants, irrespective of persons or circumstances. Persons, circumstances may be very difficult for us to bear at times. For nothing can mar that union with God except ourselves, our will. We're the ones that say, you know, Captain, forget it. I'm on the safety ramp. I'm getting out of here. We make it active. Well, the saints are like, Lord, I don't understand. It's difficult. St. Peter said, Lord, it's great to be up here. The next week, then, the agony of the garden was, whoa. So our wills are tested. You know, every year of our life, in fact, every hour, every minute, God is speaking to us. And every minute we're tested. Are we going to stick at Christ's side? Where are we? So what I would suggest today, in light of the readings here, my reflections, when you receive Holy Communion, all of us, speak to myself, too. When you receive Holy Communion, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to listen to your voice. Attention to the silence, the sacrifice. Help me to listen to your voice and to be like a sponge to absorb all those graces. So I know crosses are coming, Lord. But I know if I'm receptive to your consolations that I'll be able to go through those crosses. And if we're receptive, let's say if parents are receptive, you win graces then for your children. So when crosses come their way, you can be an extra shield and help them, right? So let's bow our heads and say a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Mother God, you're the mediatrix of all grace. You stood firm at Christ's side, firm with faith on Calvary. Obtain for us that grace too. Help us to be sponges to accept all the graces the Lord sent us. So when difficulties or trials come, that we may stand firm. And obtain for us the gift of final perseverance. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.